Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, available now on podcast on all platforms, Apple, Android, whichever way you want to get your talks, your podcasts, we are here to help you. How you doing? I hope, like me, you to remember that you are blessed and highly favoured, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. So this week I was really blessed to be speaking with Sabine Hoadley, and we're speaking about the latest Lancet report that came out that says obesity hits 6 billion. No longer the $6 million man, $6 million woman, 6 billion people worldwide are living with obesity. Now, that is quite, the word obesity is quite a broad brush, but we really looked at, didn't dig deep into the report itself, but just really spoke about steps you can take to improve your health and happiness. And you know, this is why this show is called Her Health and Happiness. We look at all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person, and the issues related to that impact female intimate health. And male health and men are integral to female intimate health. Okay, guys, so welcome. We have another week of being able to share on some interesting topics. And I really want to start this show by exploring. So I want to go beyond the taboo, right? Now, I wrote an article today, and I wrote one before on, you know, I've got the whole thing on. My first book was titled Can a Vagina Really Buy a Mercedes? Subtitled What Can Your Perfect Floor Do for You? Now, I had written an article because I wrote my whole poem on, remember, Vibrantly Appealing Gina. Take away the VA from vagina. You have Gina. Gina is Italian for queen. A VA is a virtual assistant. And their job is just to make everything vibrantly appealing, right? That's what they want to do. So Vibrantly Appealing Gina, the most sought after girl I know, the entrance to a gateway that brings love, life and flow. Yet many, many underrate her and call her all kinds of names, not understanding Gina, this Italian queen that we have right there, the gateway that links her in and out of the world, may cause a life of hurt and shame. But here's the thing. When I published that on LinkedIn last year, it was taken down because I was using derogatory terms. I wrote another article again today, and again, I'm violating protocols, and I have an issue with this. Now, I'm really hoping, Johan, that this doesn't have to have parent advisory on it, because the correct names for the parts of our anatomy are vagina and penis. I do not understand how that word then suddenly becomes a problem. And here's the thing. This is why we have an issue with female intimate health. Because if we use the word vagina, it's like people are offended. But people will call it every kind of derogatory, nasty name, even the worst word on the planet, can be used to describe it. And that seems acceptable. We find different names for it. It makes no sense to me because it is silly. We have a vibrantly appealing queen. That's what we have. Whose role is so much more than just the physiological, orgasmic, life-bringing, life-giving role. It's life-giving in intimacy. And it's life-bringing in childbirth. But its everyday role is a totally different thing. So I wrote this article and I just want to read through it. I'm playing about with it and I just need to adjust it a bit. But I just wanted to read some of it here. Because I think this is where we have a problem. When we start to understand how our emotional, hormonal, financial relationship stresses are locked into our sex and reproductive organs, and we start to align those with the issues around sex and reproductive health, then we are able to help women make better, more informed choices, because now they understand how their anatomy works in terms of energy vibrations, what's drawn in, what's blocked, what comes out, what can't get out, what wants to get out, what wants to get in. We understand that. So it's literally beyond taboo. It's exploring the mysteries and the wonder of the vagina. It's an organ that's housed inside the outside, the lips of the menorah, major and minor, our lips, the vaginal lips. They're not the vagina. The vagina is a set of muscles on the inside there, that lining there, and then we have, that's the tunnels, I call it, and then inside the pelvic basin, we have the pelvic floor. So have you ever paused to wonder the enigmatic allure of the vagina? It's a question that often raises eyebrows, elicits curiosity, and even, strangely, still sparks controversy. Yet behind the veil of societal taboos lies a world of profound significance and untapped potential waiting to be explored. When asked why I enjoy discussing the vagina, I often respond with a thought-provoking question. What does your vagina do besides serving as a gateway connecting our inner and outer worlds, facilitating orgasmic experiences? And that's a question I ask. Because beyond its anatomical function, it holds a myriad of secrets, mysteries, and wonders waiting to be unveiled. It's a symbol of female power, creativity, resilience, embodying both physical and metaphysical dimensions. From a biological standpoint, the vagina is a marvel of evolutionary design, capable of self-cleansing, self-lubrication, and servicing as a conduit for reproduction. But its significance extends far beyond mere physiology. It is a source of pleasure, intimacy, and connection. It offers a pathway to profound states of physical and emotional stability, ecstasy, and fulfillment. It's a vessel through which we experience the depth of our sensuality and tap into the infinite wellspring of our erotic potential. But it's also a reflection of our overall well-being and our health. And it serves as a barometer for our hormonal balance, our immune function, and our emotional state. It serves as a pillar and part of the foundation for our pelvic and spinal stability, for our gait and movement ability, for our posture, performance, and even plays a role in our body shape. So it's really, really important. Its delicate ecosystem thrives in harmony with the body's natural rhythms, responding to cues of pleasure, desire, and arousal. So once we are able to embrace this holistic approach to vaginal health, we can unlock the key to greater vitality, pleasure, and fulfillment in our lives. So this entails nurturing our bodies with nourishing foods, engaging in regular exercise, and cultivating a positive mindset towards our sexuality. But perhaps more importantly, discussing the vagina empowers us to challenge societal taboos, dismantles shame, and reclaims ownership of our bodies and desires. It is an invitation to step into a realm of self-discovery, empowerment, and liberation. One where pleasure knows no bounds and curiosity knows no limits. So the next time you find yourself pondering the mysteries of your vibrantly appealing Gina, dare to dive deeper. Explore its depth and reverence, curiosity, and a sense of wonder. For within its sacred embrace lies the promise of untold treasures to be discovered. That is the vagina. How can you ignore that? I mean, that's just like, that's the gateway that links the inner and outer worlds. That is the seed of our soul. And that is an absolutely amazing bit of kit. And that's why I said at the beginning, vibrantly appealing Gina, the most sought after girl I know, the entrance to a gateway that brings love, life, and flow So it's really important for us to start to change the language, start to change the approach, start to be able to introduce it into primary schools. Why do I say primary schools? Because the key stage two science books, are they in primary school? Might be secondary school actually. But those books just say puberty. They talk about the hair, the vagina, the penis, and how to make a baby. This whole ecosystem and what it represents, physically, hormonally, nutritionally, you know, structurally, that's all skipped. If we understand the whole, we don't look at any of the Eastern systems and the meridians, that plays a major role in helps us and understand. So once we start to understand that those sex and reproductive organs are linked around, you know, related issues are financial stress. The reproductive organs are linked around relationship stress and sex. So everything is, and the three biggest drivers are sex, money, and relationships. So your reproductive and sex organs are linked around the three biggest drivers that are affecting and driving society. And when we look at that, this really lays the sort of foundation and the platform, especially if we look at female health and obesity, for where we find ourselves, the comfort foods, the way in which we respond to the challenges around our sexual identity, our sexual prowess, you know, the confidence that's linked in with it, what happens in terms of being able to control our eliminatory organs, which flow through that whole vaginal canal. It's like, what is going on there? You know, in terms of our confidence, our continence, and our sexual satisfaction. That is the reason why I have the Pelvic Floor Secrets, 6 weeks to Confidence, Continence, and Sexual Satisfaction. If we look at the statistics and studies of female intimate health, if we look at the statistics last year, the year before last, 79% of women over the age of 41 report having bladder weakness. And that's linked right into the gateway that links our inner and outer world. But if we won't have the conversation, we're being told that we can have these new designer nappies and designer knickers. And, you know, we're not looking at even the sort of eco and the environmental issue around one pad taking 400 years to break down, the plastic that's inside of it. We're not looking at what it does in terms of the body and the breathability. And just in terms of changing the pH regulation downstairs, we don't look at it in terms of how it affects our breathing and our breathing ability and how we're acidifying the body, how we're over-douching, over-cleaning, the natural self-cleansing organ that's so clever. We're changing the pH regulation down there. We're creating a yeast overgrowth and creating, you know, issues like bacterial vaginosis, yeast overgrowth. So we're creating infections within ourselves. So we need to be able to understand what is happening downstairs between our legs. Because we walk left and right. We carry it everywhere we go. It's the seat of our soul. It's the freedom that we want to enjoy. It's the really is a marker and indicator of our confidence and our identity and how we see ourselves and how we are seen. What we allow in and what we want to get rid of and what we allow out. How it affects our thoughts, then obviously the emotions, the hormones, the organ response, what happens downstairs. The simple movements of coughing, breathing, laughing, happening upstairs in and around the head and the face, but actually manifesting in movement that we can or cannot control downstairs in that very area where it's into the pelvic floor, not doing its job properly, coming out through the vagina. We have to have this conversation. There is nothing rude, there's nothing derogatory, and I put it into spoken word and a little bit of poems, how to keep your knickers dry, the adult thing to do, so we can just kind of soften the subject and go, wow. But I hope that what I've just read to you there makes you say, damn, is that what my vibrantly appealing Gina could do for me? I want to know more. I just want to know more. And if she plays an integral part to and is impacted by my body weight and body shape, it brings us nicely into having a conversation around obesity. Because the more load we carry, the more weight we carry, the more deconditioned and dysfunctional the abdominal wall is, the more pressure goes onto the pelvic floor and the more issues we're going to have in, around, and what comes out of our vibrantly appealing Gina. So that's my segue into the conversation. You like the way I linked that one? You like it, don't you? It's good, isn't it? So let's play a trail and let's have that conversation. Because what I'd love for you to do is book on the next 60-day journey, which starts on the 8th of April. It's time to put your hands in your pocket. And the new 2024 number plate came out this year. Make that number plate be V4, Gina, 2024. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Today I'm blessed to be speaking with Sabine Hoadley, exercise scientist, and we are discussing the latest report that's come out from The Lancet that shows that more than a billion people around the world are living with obesity, despite half of Brits believing they are healthy. This is going to be a great topic. So Sabine, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is quite an interesting report, and it'd be good to read the whole report. But I think the line that I really like is that there are people out there who are overweight, who are obese, but because of certain things they're able to do and manage, they believe themselves to be healthy. And I just think the bit I want to add in there is that my mum is, she now has dementia. She's now bedbound. She's to the point where she's not speaking anymore and we have to care for her 24/7, but she is a diabetic. She's been a diabetic for over 20 years. So I know that Alzheimer's is like diabetes type 3. But what's interesting sometimes when my brother talks and says, before this thing happened, before mom went in hospital, mom was healthy. She was all right. And I'm like, at one point on 28 tablets a day, how does that work? How can you put the two things together hand in hand, you know? Anyway, so Sabine, honestly, as an exercise scientist, what do you find? And you know, when people say to themselves, I am healthy, what do you find and classify?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think some of the stats that came out of both the Lancet report and some of the research that we've done at Uniquely Health have been quite shocking in terms of the numbers. You touched on a few of the figures there. A couple more that we pulled out were that 63.5% of Brits are obese. And just to quickly define like the kind of cutoff for obesity, they define it as a BMI of 30 or above in adults. Now, I would like to kind of little disclaimer there, body composition is also really important. So there are some people in the kind of more minority case, but some people will be classed as obese that may have a very high muscle mass. And actually, research shows that body composition is really important as well when we're looking at health and we're looking at body types, because you might be someone who's actually a really slim build and you have a very high body fat percentage and a low muscle mass. You might be someone who's a lot bigger and has a high muscle mass and a body fat percentage. But generally speaking, like a high BMI is indicative of being obese and the health consequences that come with that. And unfortunately, obesity is massively linked to like a number of what we call lifestyle diseases, such as type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and subsequently later in life, potentially stroke and Alzheimer's dementia. So there's lots of links in there. But I think like taking these stats, we've got a really good opportunity to do something about it and to make some changes in our nation and to hopefully have like a healthier, happier population of people.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I was talking to a colleague earlier on and he was asking, you know, how do you get rid of the man belly? I said, it's not as simple as that. There's so many different things you have to think about. But even just in terms of obesity, when we're looking at the, you know, if we look at the strain on the NHS at the moment, we look at the issues around joint pain, we look at the issues around digestion, we look at the issues around, you know, gastric issues, you know, it starts there as well. There's obviously the more weight you carry, the more pressure you put on your internal organs, but also the more pressure you put on the joints. So your freedom of movement and your quality of life is compromised. So I think, when we have this conversation, I suppose really it's not, it's like, I remember a barrister saying, there's nothing wrong with a good bribe, but you have to kind of bribe people into want to take care of their health, because it's like, it's my body. I heard that statement. That's my body. I can do what I want. But as soon as that body that's mine starts to fall apart, it's like, Sabine, you're an exercise scientist. Fix me. And but you've only got 10 minutes of their whole life history. Fix me. I've got a pain in my back. Can you sort it out for me? And it's like, makes sense.
Completely, completely. I liked what you said earlier about your you can't buy health, you have to invest in it, and I couldn't agree more with that. I think we are in a society where, number one, people are very busy, both with our general lives. People are, especially since COVID, working from home more. People are sitting down for longer periods throughout the day. People have fa families to prioritize. People have careers to prioritize. You might fall into the sandwich population of people who are both looking after like elderly parents and young children. And what we found in some of our research, that was about 75% of people actually prioritize other things over their health, such as families and careers. And they say that health kind of falls to the bottom of the pile. So when you come back from a busy day of work, the last thing you want to do is kind of get up for a run or, going to the gym. And I think we've got an opportunity to really like address that now. And coming back to the investing in your health, I think we're surrounded by lots of like social media trends and lots of claims that people can kind of drop 10 kilograms in 2 weeks in 2 weeks or so.
It's ridiculous.
I know, and honestly, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And if you do manage to lose 10 kilograms in 2 weeks, fantastic, but it's probably not going to stay off. And actually, people who lose weight very quickly
End up
often
putting on even more.
put it back on, and the rest really. So I think where like we come into things is making sure that we think about sustainable habits, sustainable weight loss, sustainable small incremental changes that we can make each day that will actually build to a bigger picture. And actually, if we set ourselves a goal to lose a certain amount of weight over 6 months, that'll be much more achievable and much more sustainable than it would be to kind of drop a load of weight really quickly. So there's lots of things that we can do, but I think the most important is recognizing that what we do has to be sustainable. If you're picking up a habit that you probably won't be able to do in a couple of weeks' time because it doesn't fit into your lifestyle, then it's probably not the right kind of change to make. I think it's like how we can build healthy habits into our existing routine, is going to make a much bigger difference for us further down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I this is just right up my, I thought this is right up my street, because I used to run workshops on healthy habits to heal and harmonize. I just like my alliteration. And this is the point, is like, I try to get my clients not to focus on how much weight they want to lose, but to focus on how much more energy they want to gain. Because a lot of people that are overweight, they complain they're either tired, they don't have much energy. So it's like, how much more energy would you like to have? If it's actually affecting your career, how would you like to increase your career longevity? So if women as well, we had this whole drive, just coming out of menopause, out of lockdown around the menopause. So, obesity adds to the adverse symptoms of menopause. It adds to that journey, even if you're, because for me, the journey, that's the end of the train journey. That's the end of reproductive years. But the train journey starts from menstruation. So you've got that whole thing, and if you're fortunate enough and blessed enough to have maternity, that's your three M's. It's menstruation, maternity, menopause. And when you get to the end of that train journey, plus the P, which is a perimenopause, when you get to the end of that train journey, really, it's just a sum total of how your the lifestyle factors have brought you to that place. So it's recognizing that stress can make your pants tight. It's recognizing that prolonged levels of stress affects your breathing, which then affects the environment inside the body, which then can suppress the digestive system. And it may be that you're not overeating, but actually you're overstressing. And so the body's not able to, very effectively assimilate the foods that you're taking in. Maybe you're blocking it with, certain processed foods and stuff you're taking are actually blocking the absorption of the minerals that you need. And I think one of the things that lockdown did really well, when we were so stressed about being indoors, is that when we were allowed out, we started to make the most of those parks and spaces. It's to not drop that. It's to keep that going. It's to, as you said, you've got to sort that sandwich thing. My family, we take it in terms of because of my mum. So those days when I'm there, maybe I don't get out, but my brother's there. So I might just decide to go for a quick run around the block for half an hour or a quick walk around the block for half an hour. Before she became bedbound, we took her out for a walk every single day. So
Yeah.
then was able to get out and just, do some laps around the park and stuff like that. So it's just really, like you said, it's really, really simple things. And I suppose if people realize that after they eat, if they go for a 20-minute walk, it will actually enhance digestion, they might be more inclined to do it. So I suppose maybe it's a change in the education. What do you reckon?
Yeah, massively. I think education there is going to be really important to kind of make people more aware of what changes they can make. I think coming back to the example that you used of menopause there, that's a really classic example of where like a holistic approach to health is really important. So say you're a woman who's going through menopause and you are perhaps like classed as obese and want to make some changes to your health. There's so many things that we can look at aside from just the number on the scales there. So for example, if you are going through menopause, we might have a look at your sleep patterns. Like, are you getting enough sleep? And what we found, like what research shows is that if you're not getting enough sleep, that can actually increase your stress hormone. It can increase your a hormone called ghrelin, which actually is related to your appetite. So if you're not sleeping enough, you're often going to be releasing more ghrelin, which makes you hungry the next day. So that's number one. The next thing that we might look at is like your vitamin D levels. So as someone who's going through menopause, you might find that your bones are getting a little bit more brittle. And actually, vitamin D is really important for calcium absorption in your bones. So that's another factor that we can look at, and blood testing is a way that you can find out what your vitamin D levels are like. The next one is muscle mass. So for example, muscle mass we start to lose between the ages of about 30 and 50, and our muscle mass starts to decline, which essentially makes us weaker. It means that there's more kind of workload on our cardiovascular system. Muscle mass is a really, really important tissue within our bodies for like long-term health. So in terms of muscle mass, we want to think about, are you eating enough protein? Are you doing the right sort of exercise training? Like, are you doing body weight workouts? Are you getting to a gym to do some weighted workouts? And there's so many different factors that all contribute to like your overall health, and it's really important to get the full picture of not just one element, which would be the numbers on the scales, but actually like a variety of different areas.
Exactly. And I think that's what people need to understand, because we get this headline that, 6 billion with obesity, 6 million in the UK alone. But we're not actually then drilling down and trying to work out these factors. And when somebody wants to lose weight, first of all, there's eight principles of total health. You've got to go through thoughts, breath, hydration, sleep, nutrition, movement that matters. Female intimate health is a principle on its own, social connections. They're all part of the jigsaw that actually builds your whole total health. But if your mental, emotional well-being is really out of sorts and your negative thinking is there all the time, then you're going to have an increased stress response. You're going to probably have altered breathing. You're either going to hold the breath or you're going to hyperventilate. You're going to change the environment within. You're going to struggle with sleep. You're probably going to reach for something that doesn't serve you in terms of hydration, as opposed to water. You're not going to be motivated to move. You're not going to think about, let me have a nutritious, hydrating, well-balanced meal. And that's going to have an impact, obviously, then in terms of the chakra system. It locks itself into our female sex and reproductive organs. That becomes a problem, especially in menopause, when there's all these internal changes happening that we don't even know about because no one talks about them. And that can lead to social isolation. So the jigsaw needs putting together. But it's being that's some of the stuff that I teach a lot of my clients, is putting that jigsaw together so that you're able to optimize your health, and you start to think, wow, why have I got to start with my thoughts? Because that's where it is. Like, you're either saying you don't care or you do. You're either saying I can't do it or you can. So it's the language that you use in yourself, and what are you affirming to yourself each day, and what are your beliefs? Because until your beliefs are there that you can change your life, then trying to take that approach to change it's just not going to happen, is
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't agree more.
it? So, where can people go to find more information from you?
So I come from a company called Uniquely Health, and you can find out more information on our website, uniquely.health. You're able to book a complimentary call on there, at no obligation, find out a little bit more information about our programs. But I'd just like to say that our programs are holistic, as we've kind of discussed today. We do look at exercise, we look at nutrition, we have a GP as well who will go through blood testing with you. And we like to take that full holistic approach to your health to make sure that we're addressing not just one thing, but addressing the whole of you.
And where are you based?
We are a virtual service. So
Okay.
we're based in London, but we are a fully remote service. So all of the consultations are via Zoom. And then if you go for blood testing as part of your package, then we will arrange a nurse to come to your house and take the blood from your home there.
Oh wow, you do that home service. So, okay, and then in terms of the exercises, do you have someone there that teaches them one on one, or do you do it in group exercise, or is it like an app that they can access and to do on their own?
Yeah, so it's a combination. So what happens is you'll have one-to-one consultations with each of our team members. So as the exercise scientist, I will be prescribing, well, first of all, doing an initial health assessment on someone's exercise habits, on their current exercise and movement patterns. And then I will work with the rest of the team and talk about what's going to be the most appropriate plan for you. So I will maybe prescribe some cardio, some resistance training, and it will be guided. We will send out video links that give descriptions for all of the exercises. And because you check in with each of the clinicians once a week, you will have the opportunity to talk through anything that you're finding difficult, anything that you're finding too easy. And it's a constant, we constantly kind of progress the program as we go through. And it's the same for the dietitian side of things. So myself and our registered dietitian will work with each other to make sure that our plans are aligned in terms of the food choices that you're making. Are they supporting the exercise that you're doing? Are you going to get enough energy from it? Is it going to give you enough protein? Are there any deficiencies that have come up in your blood testing? So that's the way our team works together. And we'd really like to make sure that kind of we're addressing everything or any kind of red flags that come up through any of your tests.
Fantastic, fantastic. So just give us the details once again.
So it's uniquely.health is our website. And then you could book a complimentary call on there. And we also have social media platforms on Instagram, LinkedIn and Facebook as
And
well.
is that uniquely.health as well on social media?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, Sabine, thank you so much for your time. I'm being blinded by the sun here. Wish you a fabulous Friday. I'll
Thank
speak to you
you.
again soon. Be great to talk
Thanks, Jenny.
again. Take
Yeah.
care. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Bean, let me just apologize again. At the beginning of the show, the top of the show, I said hoadly. Hoadly, it's hoadly, but wasn't that powerful? So I hope you got something from that, because I think, sometimes we all deliver messages, a very similar message in a different way, and that makes a lot of sense. So even just understanding the different hormones within the body that actually activate the sensory pathways that want to trigger you to want to eat, this, the body is so intrinsically wired, it's amazing. And as I mentioned before I started the interview, we look at the foundation of the trunk, and that's, what links into the pelvis. Obviously, the legs link into the pelvis, the trunk sits on top of the pelvis, the internal organs sit above and inside and above the pelvis, as does then the arms link into the trunk, onto the pelvis, the head and neck complex onto the pelvis. So it plays a major role just in every step, twist, turn, and movement that you make. And that's why I also mentioned that when you cough and sneeze and laugh, they may happen in the nose and the mouth, but their impacts are felt right downstairs, right within the pelvic floor, and into and out of, if you do not have control of the vagina. So how can we not have that conversation? It's crazy. Now, my next workshop, Women's Wellness Workshop, is on the 17th of March. So we have Mother's Day on the 10th of March. What are you planning to do? Well, I've got my clients on a detox. The 60-day challenge is almost up. It finishes on Mother's Day. And we are detoxing. We are going through, and right now they are actually writing what we call your live eulogy, the living eulogy. And they are also, it's an A4 sheet of paper, really what says about the highlights of where you are. They're creating their avatars and finalizing their avatars, the person they're becoming. Their action plans are being put in place. Everything is being set up. And then yesterday what arrived for me was a box of goodies which says your breakthrough awaits. And it's the stuff from Tony Robbins. So it culminates in carrying on and finishing on the 24th of March when we finish doing Tony Robbins, which I'm so looking forward to. It's literally just going to cement everything I've taught them over the last 60 days, which has been so, so powerful. Changing the language, essentially changing the heart, changing what's flowing into and out of it, changing how we do our bits and pieces, changing who we are as people for the better, looking at parts of our personality that do not serve us and removing those and replacing those with things that do serve us. Looking at the 8 principles of total health and making sure the jigsaw puzzle fits perfectly. There's nothing missing, nothing being overlooked, no part of any area of health being thought it's not important enough or does not need attention or require any extra input or education. And that's why it's such an exciting, exciting, exciting journey to take. So the Women Wellness Workshop is on the 17th of March. The next 60-day journey, She Comes First, starts on the 8th of April. So you're able to sign up on either of those. I'd be more than happy to have you, because they are an absolutely fantastic journey. So look out on my social media platforms, pelvic secrets at icloud.com is my email address. Pelvic Secrets is my Instagram and Twitter, now X, pages, and on TikTok as well. And Jenny, Juliet Echo, November India, Jenny Russell, Romeo Uniform, Sierra Echo, Lima, is my pages on LinkedIn and on Facebook. But you can also find me on Pelvic Floor Secrets, but I post mainly under Jenny Russell. So they are the pages and they are the places in which you can get information. The link's on my bio. You can DM me. You can send me an email, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. And I will send you out the information that you need to have. All I would encourage you to do is recognize that your health is your business. Your body is your business. And as I mentioned just before I bought the show in, you know, I on the way back home from looking after my mother, I heard an advert for the 2024 plate for the Mercedes-Benz. My car is a 72 plate, but I got it in January. So it is only just over a year old. But considering we're into the 74 plate, it makes it sound like it's 2 years old. But that whole point of having a, you know, a new car, you know, being able to have something new, a new model with different bits and pieces in it is great. But I am my car. I am my own car. As in, you know, my pelvic floor, my inner workings, my organs, my liver, my kidneys, my stomach, my intestines. All those parts are the engine that drive what people see on the outside. I did a post the other day and I said there are two ways to age. And that's either the holistic route that I love to teach people to use. Or there is it's almost like the manufactured route. It's the manufactured route in terms of products that you can have and services that are being offered to enhance the body. You know, Botox is literally botulism. It's a poison that people are putting into their bodies to plump up their cheeks. It starts to change the shape of the face. And once it's overdone and overdone and overdone, the face almost looks like, for many people as they age, like they've had a stroke. What's happening is people are using different products to enhance their so-called beauty, but actually for many people it actually takes away from that, the very beauty they had in the first place. But they're not changing their habits. And so therefore, it's not all Botox that's bad. It's not all people that have those products that look really scary and freaky. But what happens is you can have those products, which I said is a toxin, but then if you're intoxicating yourself with poor nutritional choices, over abusing, pills and drugs and things that you shouldn't be taking, and you're smoking and you're drinking excessively, then you're not actually helping the process. So you're not actually anti-aging. You're trying to anti-age with a manufactured product whilst aging yourself with your own habits. And this is where we need to have the education and the changes. We're on this detox for 21 days, and there's food there around us that can be consumed. And people, when they go to detox, they think, oh my God, what am I losing out on? What am I depriving myself of? But this is an opportunity right now to cleanse the blood, cleanse the intestinal tract, flush out the colon, reset the inner workings. When sickness and dis-ease is prevalent everywhere we turn, and people are dropping like flies from one sickness or another, there's been a recent outbreak of measles, etc., etc. This is a great time. The way I see it, and I've told my clients, this is like, we've just stepped into spring. So what do we do in the house? We spring clean it. We're not only your car, you're your house. So you're everything, right? So you spring clean your house, you get out, you give it a really good dust down, open the windows, and you give it a really good spring clean, ready for these lighter, longer days and brighter evenings and brighter days to come by the grace of God. And you get your house ready. Well, the detox is like the same as an inner world detox. It's an inner world spring clean, sorry. So it's just preparing yourself for the spring and the summer, flushing away the overindulgence of Christmas and into the new year. And of course, we're just getting over that one there. And at the end of this month, we're going to be looking at Easter and the indulgence of Easter, flushing away the indulgence of Valentine's Day. Once Easter's gone, we're going to start looking towards the summer holidays. So the indulgence is all around us, everywhere we turn. But I like to think to myself that this is indulgence too. That the indulgence can start with your health. Indulge yourself in optimizing your health. Because when your health is taken from you and you're chasing after it, it's a much harder thing to get back. It's much easier to be able to maintain it and allow yourself a full awareness to, have days where you want to have things that you know won't serve you well. However, they are not your staple diet. It doesn't mean if you eat a piece of chocolate today, that's it. You're going to eat it every single day. Doesn't mean if you have a cake today, that's it. You're going to have a cake every day. But you can do these things with full awareness. There needs to be an appreciation. And I think once we start to have an appreciation of what optimal health looks like, what optimal health feels like, and how optimal health can be enjoyed or optimized health. Even if it's not optimal, optimize your health. You lose nothing from it because you do not run a suboptimal car. You do not put in, the supermarkets might sell cheaper petrol, but you don't try and go and buy, you wouldn't spend £50,000, £40,000, £30,000 on a car. Then go and buy the cheapest oil, the cheapest this, the cheapest that. Go and have the backstreet service and get the cheapest tires. And, you just wouldn't do it. If they're selling you a car and they said, oh, we just put secondhand tires on it and, we didn't bother really top up the oil and, we got some cheap secondhand lights and, it doesn't really work that well, but it will get you by. It'll get you from A to B. It's all right. You wouldn't buy it. You wouldn't buy it. The joy of having a brand new car, no, it does not need NMOT for the first 3 years. Doesn't mean you try to destroy it. You've got to service it. That first service, a big service, is going to cost you, £500, £600. You try to make sure everything's working. You want everything to be as it should be. And for most people who are buying their cars on all these different programs, myself included, then when it comes to, if you decide to, like, I want to pay mine off in 18 months, that's my plan to do, and own it as opposed to keep changing it every 3 years. There's a plus and a minus for that too. But when you take that car back after 3 years to trade it in for the next model and the next one up, every scratch and this and that there, you have to pay for. That's what many people don't realize. So if you get a little scratch on the dent here, you discolor it here, you do this, you do that, every wheel trim you scratch up, you've got to pay for. And so suddenly people, and my beauty therapist who used to do my nails and stuff, they did that all the time. But sometimes they said that they took the car back and the bill to exchange that car for the next one was like 4 or 5 grand. And then they've got to pay this another 4 or 5 grand deposit. Like, that's just madness. So people think it's great, you change your car every 3 years, but you have to drive it with such care and attention to make sure that, you know, no one comes near it, nothing happens to it, so that at the end you don't have this big bill to pay for. Well, that's a level of care for metal that can be repaired that is just not given to a body that doesn't have the same ability. Anytime you have an anesthetic and go under the knife, you risk losing your life. And we should only do that as a last resort. So there's many things to be grateful for, but optimizing your health should be the biggest and best one that you focus on. So we're coming towards the end of the show. Don't want to be such a miserable old cow, but I really, really hope that this has empowered someone or empowered you. Remember, it's Mother's Day this year, this weekend even. Even if your mother is not here no more, then we give thanks to all those mothers that have gone before us, and they are just a blessing to us. If you have your mother around, go and bless her, give her a hug, give her a kiss, tell her how much you love and appreciate her. You know, she may not be the best person in the world, but she brought you into it, all right? So she's given you life, and you can enjoy the life you have. So give her an opportunity, give her a card, buy her some flowers. Oh, my son here. Buy her some flowers, do something special for her for Mother's Day. And although it shouldn't just be one day celebrated, we're there every day, you know. Mom, can you get this for me? Mom, can you do that? Mom, just remember, mom is bedbound. She can't do much for herself. She has dementia. I still think it is a blessing to actually have her around. So I shall indulge her. I am looking after her this weekend. So I shall indulge her the best way I can, because I give thanks that she's still here, almost 88 years of age, and that I've managed to get to sassy, sexy 61 years of age. So, in health and happiness, until next week, stay blessed, stay strong, stay safe.